What does the Bible say it takes for a person to become a saint? So I'm going to invite you into this journey with me, and we're going to go to God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you'll turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now remember, as we study God's Word, there are 39 books in the Old Testament, 3 times 9, 27 books in the New Testament, makes up 66 books in our Bible. We have the Old Testament, the New Testament. The Bible was written by 40 human authors over a span of time between 1,200 and 1,500 years, but one divine author, inspired by God, our Holy Scriptures. And we're going to look at the book right after Romans, where we've been marching in the book of Romans with Pastor David for the past 6 months. We're going to look at the next book after Romans, 1 Corinthians. And we're going to look at three verses together, beginning in verse 1. When you're there, would you shout amen? Now, I don't see Miss Carolyn on the front row, and I'm so used to her helping me preach. Would somebody represent her? Would you be willing to be my amen section? I miss her this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. There's our word. Called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we call this Paul's salutation, as he writes this personal letter to the church at Corinth. Now remember, the Apostle Paul was in Corinth for 18 months. You can read that in Acts chapter 18. It was part of his missionary journey, and God led him to Sin City, Corinth. Scholars say at this time of Paul's writing, the city had some 700,000 inhabitants. It was a tremendous city where close by had the Isthmian Games. It was a city that was mixed, had Jew, had Greeks, had the Gentiles infiltrating that area. And the city was known as a city of self-indulgence. Many gods were being worshipped there. Many temples erected to the various gods. And one of the most prominent temples was the temple to Aphrodite, the temple of Venus, the god of love. And there, featuring 1,000 prostitutes who would serve and worship via sexual immorality. People from all over the known world would travel into Corinth and indulge in this sinful lifestyle, this loose living. And we would call it a very dark region of the world. But that's where God had ordained that Paul plant his life for 18 months. And what we discover in the economy of God is that God will often plant you in the darkest of places because that's where his light shines the brightest. And Paul was willing to go to Corinth and invest his life and to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and to invest in people who were sinners so that they could become saints. Paul identifies himself as Paul, by the will of God. In other words, his life is in alignment with God's purpose and plan. And by the will of God, he was called to be an apostle. You remember his conversion experience in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus? This one Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, he was arresting followers of the way, believers, Christians, and locking them up. He's the one who held the clothes whenever Stephen was being stoned. And it's believed that it's the first recorded miracle that Saul ever heard when Stephen prayed, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." Saul overheard that. God gets Saul's undivided attention on the road to Damascus, blinds him for 3 days and 3 nights, and raises up Ananias to go lay hands on him and pray over him. And you can read that in Acts 9. It's very interesting because Ananias is like, "But Lord, haven't you heard about this man, what he has done?" And God's like, "No, really? The one I created, Saul, he's been persecuting. I didn't know that." No, God said, this man is my chosen instrument. You go and you pray over him that he may receive his sight and also receive spiritual transformation. And then Ananias laid hands on Saul. Saul was miraculously healed and transformed by the power of God. He was transferred from being a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the gospel. And God is still in the life-changing business. God can use anybody just as he has used Paul. By the will of God, called to be an apostle, and his brother in the faith, Sosthenes. Some say that this Sosthenes was the synagogue ruler mentioned in Acts 18. Now he is the secretary, the amanuensis of Paul. And then Paul uses this phrase that we would call a paradox, to the church of God in Corinth. The church of God in Sin City? The church of God in Corinth. Now, what you and I understand is that Corinth needed the church of God. Amen? Corinth needed the gospel witness. Corinth needed salt and light. Corinth needed the good news of Jesus Christ. But there was paganism. There was pluralism. There was humanism. There was Epicureanism. There was hedonism. There was raw sin infiltrating the city. And that's the very city that needed the church of God. Now, can you imagine what it would have been like to be a member at the church of Corinth? When you read the letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's very interesting. They had a lot of issues internally because they were allowing the world to infiltrate the church. So Paul is writing to try to help clean up the church and to set them in order. Notice our next phrase. As he's addressing the church of God in Corinth, he says, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's who he's writing to. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Notice our next phrase. Called to be saints. Now, there's our concept. Paul's writing to the church of God in Corinth, sanctified by Christ Jesus, called to be saints. In other words, Paul is identifying this group of people he deemed as saints. Not dead saints, not those who've been canonized as saints 5 years and beyond after their death, but they have been declared living saints. So whenever the church of Corinth gathered, they were the gathered saints. Whenever the church scattered, they were the scattered saints. But whether they were gathered or scattered, they were the united saints of God. So I want to know, what is a saint? What is a saint? And I want to give you the answer to that if you'll write this in your notes. We're going to look at three questions. I want you to write the question and if you'll write the answer. The first question is, what is a saint? Paul's identifying the church of God in Corinth, those sanctified by Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He's calling them saints. What is a saint? Here it is, if you'll write it in your notes. A saint is a person set apart by God and for God. A person set apart by God and for God. And that previous phrase, it gives you the launching pad. Those sanctified by Christ Jesus. In other words, those of you who have been sanctified, set apart, made holy by Christ Jesus, you have been called to be saints. It literally means holy ones. It doesn't mean holier than thou. It doesn't mean that you're better than anyone else. It just simply means that as a saint of God, you are considered a holy one of God. Sanctified by Christ Jesus. You can probably guess, since I grew up in Louisiana, we had one prominent college football team. And what is the name of that team? Oh, LSU Tigers. And my daughter Tori will be a sophomore there in August. The NFL team, of course, in Louisiana is the New Orleans Saints. Now, let's say that we invited the New Orleans Saints football team to come on our stage, and we would just have them go from side to side, and we'll line them up, and they can be in their jerseys, wearing their jerseys that identify them as New Orleans Saints. We'll even let them wear their helmets in church that identifies that they play for the New Orleans Saints. Just because they wear the football jersey bearing the name Saints does not mean that every football player is a saint. It has nothing to do with the football jersey you wear. It has to do with an encounter with God. A divine transaction. Which leads me to question number two. How do you become a saint? If a saint is a person set apart by God and for God, then how do you become a saint? I'm interested. I want to know how to become a saint. What does that look like? Here Paul says to the church of God in Corinth, those sanctified by Christ Jesus, called to be saints. In other words, God initiated this call. It is God initiated. It is God who not only initiates, it is God who originates the possibility for us to become saints. Write these two phrases down. First of all, recognize your sin and receive God's gift of eternal life. If you want to become a saint, you must recognize your sin and then receive God's gift of eternal life. To recognize your sin means to get real before God. It means to get honest before God about your sin and recognize that your sin separates you from a holy God. You know where the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it lets us know our condition, that we're hopeless, we're helpless. There's nothing we can do to work our way to salvation. That even on our best day, the Bible says, our best is as unfilthy rags unto a holy God. And so we shoot our arrow of human achievement, and we're aiming for the bullseye, God's holiness and God's righteousness. And what this word picture is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. For all have fallen short of the glory of God means that your arrow not only missed the bullseye, it didn't even land near the target on your best day. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we come to God humbly and in brokenness, and we say, "Lord, we are sinners by nature and by choice. We've dishonored you. We've broken your heart. We've not measured up to your standard of righteousness." And you recognize sin that separates you from a holy God. And then you receive God's gift of eternal life. If you'll write down 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's the Bible in one verse. "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Can you picture that? That you become a saint by recognizing your sin and receiving God's gift of eternal life? That God was willing to make Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. That God is willing to deposit the righteousness of Christ into our bankrupt account. And if you can just picture this with me, that Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven where he was worshiped and come to this sin-infected, sin-infested earth, this broken planet, in order to restore and to reconcile and to rescue us from our sin. And what continues to move my heart is that Jesus knew what he was coming to, and he still came. Because he loves you so much. And he doesn't want you to live in your sin and your separation. And I want to know this morning, would you be willing to turn from sin and to trust in Jesus alone for salvation? Because he became like us so that we could become like him. And I'm so thankful this morning that I become a saint when I'm adopted into God's family. I become a saint by turning from sin and trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, recognizing my sin and receiving God's gift of eternal life. I become a saint. That's my new identity. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Say it with me. The old is gone and the new has come. We're a new creation. And what I love about the reality of our identity in Christ, that I'm a soldier for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but I'm also a saint because of God and for God. That God made me a saint, not by my human effort, but by His amazing grace. And what I love about my reality in Christ is it's not based on performance. It's based on my position in Christ. I remember in my office there at First Baptist Folsom, Miss Pat was right next to me in her office, and I receive a phone call from Tanya, who was just about a block and a half down the street in our parsonage. That means the home owned by the church. Don't mess it up. And Tanya called me, and it was one of those, come home. Now, it wasn't that, come home, I have a wonderful meal for you, take your time, we're going to have a wonderful evening. It was, you better come home now, kind of come home. And I got there very quickly, walked into the house, and then I found Tanya standing there holding this little instrument and announced she was pregnant. 9 months later, we're fast in the Trammell family. We get it going on. 9 months later, on October 11th, 1993, I got to hold my own flesh and blood, Victoria Elizabeth Trammell, my daughter. 5 years later, same scenario, different outcome. Little firecracker born on July 4th, 1998, my son Austin. Daughter and son, not based on their performance, based on their secure position as my children. Nothing can alter, nothing can change that status. And I want to say to you this morning, if you become a child of God, you are a saint by God and for God, and you aren't a saint today and not a saint tomorrow. Once you're adopted into the family, it is permanent, it's secure, and it's not based on what you can attain. It's based on God's grace, and the same grace that saved you is the same grace that keeps you. A saint of God. And we've got to come to the reality that you're either a saint or an ain't. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. You're either in or you're out. It's one or the other. There's no in between. There's no purgatory. You're either saved by the grace of God and you're a saint by God and for God, or you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And for over 44 years, Champion Forest Baptist Church has faithfully proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, because we stand firm and clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through Him. Amen. So what is a saint? A saint is a person set apart by God and for God. How do you become a saint? Recognize your sin and receive God's gift of eternal life. Then number three, how do you express your new identity as a saint? How do you express that new identity? Notice in verse 2 and then verse 3, called to be saints together in community with all those in every place who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Here it is, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can express your new identity in Christ, grace and peace. Grace is, I've received something from God that I did not deserve. Salvation. I'm a saint, adopted into God's family, delivered from the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of light, filled by the Spirit of God, name written in the Lamb's book of life. That's grace. And peace is, I am now at peace with God, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did to reconcile me to my holy God. And as Brent shared a moment ago about the song we were singing, whenever God sees us, He sees us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ as a saint. Some of you have seen that old bumper sticker that says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And you will hear people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they're just looking down. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Can I make an announcement? When you get saved by the power of God, you become a saint. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Are you familiar with metamorphosis? We find that in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In the language of the New Testament, transformed is where we get the word metamorphosis. And we have a picture of it to show you what we're talking about. It's where a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's an amazing process as they embrace the cocoon experience, dying to self, being raised to walk in newness of life. That caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Now, that bumper sticker applying to that butterfly would be like this. Well, I'm just a caterpillar flying by grace. I'm just a caterpillar flying by grace. No, you are a butterfly because of grace. And if you're a child of God, you are a saint. That's your new identity in Christ. You are a saint. And you are separated by God and for God. You are a child of the living God. You are God's workmanship. And God has come to your rescue to give you a new identity. So you have to stop walking around. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Sin is no longer a fixture in your arrangement. Now you're a saint of God. And if you ever trip up, if you ever drift from God, that's not the norm. That's the exception. And God has made provision for those seasons in your life when you fail Him, when you don't measure up, when you fail to walk in the Spirit, when you fail to practice His presence, or when you commit overt sin. God has made provision to cover you in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And your response as a saint is to confess sin immediately. If you'll write that in your notes. Because as a saint, you may trip up, you may drift, you may fall. You go immediately to the Lord and confess your sin. For some reason, we tend to want to get cleaned up and try to fix things and then go to the Lord and say, I was wrong, I broke your heart, I dishonored your name. We are to go to God immediately and confess sin instantly. And then we receive God's forgiveness immediately and completely. So we confess sin instantly and be very specific about sin. Don't give the devil a toehold. Don't give him a foothold. Don't let him become a stronghold in your life. You confess sin instantly, and then you receive God's forgiveness immediately and completely. Did you know that as a child of God, you are a saint? It doesn't mean that you're better than anyone. It doesn't mean you're holier than thou. It just simply means that you're a fellow beggar who has found bread, and He's the bread of life. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? I want to invite you to go with me to the cross. You'll see Jesus on the cross, paying your sin debt in full, becoming sin for us. Do you see Him on the cross? Jesus is being crucified between two thieves. And one of the thieves says, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. In that moment, there was a divine transaction that occurred. And that thief became a saint. That's called grace. And he experienced peace with God. If he can become a saint, if Saul, who became Paul, can become a saint, if those in Corinth could become saints, there's hope for you and for me. I want you to look into the eyes of Jesus. I want you to reach up and hold his face and look into his eyes and just thank him for his unconditional love. I want you to reach over and touch his nail-scarred hand. I want you to reach to his other hand and identify his nail-scarred hand. I want you to bring your hands to his side where he was pierced. I want you to look up and notice the crown of thorns upon his brow. Place your hands over his heart and feel his love like you've never felt it before. He died for you. He was buried in a barred tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Walked the earth an additional 40 days. 500 witnesses in his post-resurrection identified him. Then he ascended back to the Father in heaven, where he's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. Then he sends the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, to come and dwell in us individually, to inhabit us, to fill us, to empower us, to be his witnesses. When you transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus alone, in that moment, there is a divine transaction that takes place and you become a saint.
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.